Hi, and welcome to the 18th episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Being surrounded by cancer is nothing new for veteran journalist Neil Canavan, who has more than 20 years of experience reporting on science and medicine. After his father and two brothers all had bouts with cancer, he decided to make a profession out of it. Most recently, Neil wrote a book titled A Cure Within, Scientists Unleashing the Immune System to Kill Cancer, which is a life book, as he calls it, on the many pioneers who revolutionized the way we treat cancer today. And to think, it all started with framed drawings that captured decades worth of research.
John hires me. I'm like, do you know everything about immunotherapy? I said, yes, which was a lie. And so the week he hired me, I went to a conference in Boston, immunotherapy. It still wasn't all the headline stuff quite yet. And Zelig is presenting on his idea of these CAR T cells. He's the father of CAR T. And he does a great presentation, and I didn't understand any of it. And I went up to him, and I said, Dr. Eschar, if I could just have your contact information for some follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. He goes, yeah, he takes my notebook and he's writing. He's writing quite a bit of information. I don't know what he's doing. And he goes, and this is all you need to know. He's got this Israeli accent. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was his signature. He hands it to him. He goes, you should frame this. I'm famous. And I look at the thing, and his signature is a mouse. Because he did all his work in mice. Mm-hmm. So this is all you need to know. So I don't know who this guy is, but I framed it anyway. And I put it on my desk, and then Drew Pardoll comes in, mm-hmm. and he sees it there. And he goes, that guy's really famous. I'm like, what, do you want to do one? He says, yeah, he does one. I frame it. Tony Rebus comes in. Those guys are really famous. I'm like, well, Tony does one. And then from there on, it was just like, all I have to do is point, and people go, oh, can I do one? I'm like, sure. So I got 40 of them. At least. Yeah. And I'm just standing there looking at him one day, and my boss comes up. He just literally whispers in my ears, you realize these are illustrations for a book. And it emerged fairly quickly that this is a very small world, these people. Mm-hmm. To the point where some of them are married to others.
Yeah.
They all know each other quite well. It's all a family. And all of them were told at some point that what you're doing is crap. And there was data to back that up. And many of them, that's why I came up with this question of, like, tell me about the Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them had that very specific moment when funding got pulled, labs were shut, companies folded. And this went on for many years. So that it kept popping up that no one believes in these people, no one thinks this is going to work,
yeah.
No one's funding them, and they're all alone except for each other. So yeah, that was the first part of, like, okay, this, it's a good story just as a narrative,
mm-hmm.
of the underdog.
In the book's foreword, Jill O'Donnell Tormey referred to immunotherapy as the darling of oncology, which Neil notes is because of its creative innovation.
It's opened up avenues, I was going to say, of imagination. I suppose that's the right word. Because oncologists have been given this little glowing object, essentially, that seems to enhance most of the things that you do. I mean, you go to education sessions at ASCO and AACR now, and they're packed, overflowing packed, with oncologists who are extremely bright people trying to figure out this immunotherapy stuff, because it seems to play a role in most anything. Chemotherapy drugs that are standard, people are now questioning, okay, what is that doing to your microbiome?
Mm-hmm.
What is it doing to your PD-1 levels? There's a drug called Gemzar that's getting a resurgence because it plays a role in this stuff, and it'll fit nicely. So it's opened up avenues of investigation like never before. I mean, I forget what the latest number is. It's well over 1,000 clinical trials, combination trials with this stuff. You know, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, the bacterial microbiome stuff. I just keep thinking that we're creative because oncologists are by profession experimentalists. You know, half the stuff or more is used off-label. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, and they're the, at the same time, it's extremely exciting because there's so much more they don't know. And it seems that all the stuff on a daily basis they uncover, it just gets better and better.
Most importantly for patients, the book can enable them to feel inclusion and hope in their immunotherapy treatment.
Unlike anything else, especially in cancer, this gives the patient an opportunity to feel involved. And this allows the patient to like, okay, I'm part of this.
Yeah.
I can affect this situation. The microbiome stuff especially. And yeah, first the sense of inclusion and then the sense of hope. I mean, you know, my father died of lung cancer. My father-in-law died of lung cancer. Mm-hmm. And that one was less than 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And as soon as my now ex-wife told me what was happening, and she looks at me, she goes, what do you think? And like, I didn't have to say anything. It was just on my face.
Yeah.
And she knew she was about to lose her dad. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily so now. There are certainly a lot of people that can't help. I mean, statistically, most people that can't help yet. But the people that can help were beyond help before. So yeah, patients need to know there is some hope. There is a very different thing going on here. And then in the wider circle of not only patients but just everybody, this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is nothing. You know, what's coming on later? Type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. MS. It's all the same switches. It's just a matter of turning them off and turning them on. We are, you know, like Welchok put it, so we are helping the patient. We're not treating the tumor, we're treating the patient. The patient is treating the tumor. You are a part of this. And I also want the patients to know that there's very warm and loving people that have created these things that they're using.
To leave off, Neil gave us his version of an elevator pitch of A Cure Within and why it is key for individuals with cancer to read.
It's fun. Parts of it are funny. I believe it to be written at a level that most anybody can get. You can read it in any order, almost. And above all, there will be headlines coming for years that will directly relate to this science. This is a revolution. This will change so many areas of medicine. I can already see it in just the journals that cross my desk, that all these different disciplines are getting involved. The microbiome, they're looking at it in Parkinson's now, mm-hmm. in autism. There's something there. You know, the idea that you can genetically engineer a T cell to direct something, that's hugely powerful. This will play out in so many disease states. I mean, this is just the very beginning. I did have one nice, I'm trying to remember who told me, it might have been Dimitri. He's like, yeah, this is going to be the standard for this industry, for this science. The very first book that people should read about is that one.
Tune in next week when we talk with two individuals who trekked the Havasu Falls region of the Grand Canyon as part of a collaboration called Moving Mountains for Multiple Myeloma to help raise money and awareness for the disease and its research. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.